This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Because we're running a little bit behind time, but that's all right. But on the phone now I have, oh gosh, they have the most interesting job, this group of people, and there's quite a few of them as well. I'm talking about the NGV and one of the main players there, Miranda Wallace. Hello to you.
Hi, David. Good to be here.
Good to be speaking to you as well. Now, you're going to be talking about something very special, the Winter Masterpieces that's supposed to be already opened on at the NGV, but unfortunately it isn't right at this moment. But before we start talking about it, and I can't wait to see it because there are so many famous and great paintings in the exhibition, give us a little bit of a background on you, Miranda, because everyone's just got the wealth of experience at the NGV.
Well, I do work with a lot of great other, I'm a colleague, and I know that, you've spoken a lot with Ted and others about this show probably in the past, but so my job at the NGV is to be, I'm a senior curator for international exhibition projects. So I just work on the exhibitions that come to us from overseas. And we seem to do one or two a year. I don't work on all of them, but I work on quite a lot of them. And so I've worked in the past on shows like the show we did with the Museum of Modern Art in New York back in 2018. Yep. And I've been at the NGV for about 5 years. So,
God, you're one of the new ones.
Relatively.
Only 5 years. My gosh.
Well, but I feel a bit like I've been there for a while because I did work with a lot of the same leadership team up in Queensland. So Tony Elwood was my boss up in Queensland, and I worked. He's a real champion for these international exhibitions for institutions like NGV to do them independently, to like put them on and look for opportunities and develop them up. So each show takes, three years minimum to put together, I guess.
I was going to ask you that, and it's amazing how long you have to work ahead to make pull it together. It's quite extraordinary for us, not being aware. We go and see an exhibition, we think, oh yeah, and don't realise what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, there's a lot of different stages, but I guess all museums generally require you to ask for loans at least a year out. So that's one of the kind of things. But also just raising the money and getting the funding to do these shows requires a lot of time.
Yep.
Writing a catalogue. But it's really the sort of 6 to 9 months before when it becomes a whole of organisation kind of activity. You have all of the different departments from marketing, sponsorship, events, everybody getting involved, and it becomes a really exciting time.
Yeah.
And of course, the most exciting time is when the works actually arrive.
Yeah.
And you get to see the paintings, not just the tiny reproductions that you've been looking at all this time. And that's a fantastic time.
I bet sure it is. And what I'm loving these days at the NGV, they're really forged ahead with the look of the exhibition. You're there seeing this spectacular art, but it's I'm equally as impressed with you get absorbed in the whole feeling because that's what you've delivered to us.
Well, we have an amazing exhibition design department, and it's something that the NGV as a kind of organisation and under Tony's direction, really places at the heart of the program. So when you're doing a show like the French Impressionism, it's about making sure that the experience for people, that we can get the most out of it, because it is a rare thing to have incredible paintings in Australia. And we are also very aware that people have a lot of options. Well, usually they have options. In the pre-COVID world, they had options to go out to movies or other forms of sort of entertainment. And seeing an exhibition, to draw people to see historical art is getting more challenging in that environment. But I think if you can also make the environment sort of sympathetic to the content and help to enhance what that content's about and what the ideas are, but not in a didactic way, because we're not interested in just sort of seemingly sort of telling people what to understand about this art. We know people always have different views on art. They can appreciate it for different reasons.
Yep.
And, you know, so we try to do it in a kind of experiential way. And that's what the designers are so clever at doing. So in this show, for example, it's about impressionism, which is all about, you know, sensation and perception and sort of trying to translate your experience of nature into paint. That's what the impressionists were trying to do. Mm. And so the design is also trying to kind of allude to some of those ideas, thinking about capturing ephemeral ideas like, or ephemeral effects like water, sort of the flow of water or the sound of the wind, appearance of clouds, all of those things. Yeah.
Fantastic. And Miranda, where has this collection come from?
It's come from the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, which is an incredible institution. I mean, Boston is, you know, I think, you know, on that east coast of America has, and it's got such an incredible history, of course, going back, you know, to the Pilgrim Fathers kind of part of America.
Course.
So there's an enormous sort of centre for wealth and history and tradition. And part of that tradition in the 19th century was for a lot of very wealthy Bostonians to travel to France and to buy art, because that was part of the sort of, the broadening of their horizons, bringing back to their relatively new country at that time, art for museums. And so the Museum of Fine Arts was established in 1870. It's a little bit younger than the NGV. And it has this an incredible collection of French 19th century painting from about the 1840s onwards. And luckily, they also had a number of Bostonians who absolutely fell for the Impressionists, and particularly Monet. And they were buying it for themselves, but then I guess when they were, you know, of a certain age, they bequeathed it to the MFA because they were very keen on building up the city's reputation, and they didn't want New York City down the way to be getting a better art collection than they were.
Yeah. So, Miranda, what is it about the Impressionist movement that, you know, like, and over at the Australian Gallery, there's the Australian Impressionism happening right now as well. What is it about that art movement? You know, like, how groundbreaking was it in the day, and what was it doing? What was it achieving?
Well, it is. It's hard when we see Impressionism today. We kind of feel that it must have been. You know, we often respond today very enthusiastically to it, but at its day, a lot of people were quite shocked at the appearance of these Impressionist paintings, because they do just have a very immediate different look to them. The use of a very different palette, so they're much brighter in colours and they're much more sketchy looking.
Mm.
And they were breaking radically with a tradition that was kind of, you know, had been the orthodoxy for such a long time, and particularly in French painting, which was all about kind of references to the past, to historical stories, to creating paintings that looked like they were almost timeless or from the classical world. You know, they were they weren't interested in contemporary life. They weren't trying to make it, you know, look like a particular artist's impression of the world. They were just trying to look like these sort of didactic scenes, and were always very finished, you know, very smooth surfaces. Mm. So when the Impressionist painters, they decided that they didn't want to keep buying into that tradition. They wanted to rebel from that, and they sort of started to think, well, if I was to leave behind that tradition, how do I reinvent painting? And so they were going out into the landscapes around France. They were setting up their easels, and they were trying to capture their immediate experience of nature. In those days, there was, you know, they were mostly living, I mean, it was the beginning of Paris developing as an enormous city, but of course, a lot of the artists came from more rural areas.
Yep.
Nature was still considered the thing that they should be painting. And they captured it in their different ways. Their works all look quite different. The artists in the show, you know, there are a number of artists in the show, and none of them really look the same. But they all approach art, I guess, with the same idea of spontaneity and personal sensation, personal expression.
Mm.
So it's really about that sort of liberation from tradition.
Yep.
And I think that we can relate to that today, because it's sort of, if they were trying to capture the world around them,
yep,
you know, that's what we can imagine if we were to be, you know, have an easel and a paint, and we were trying to think about what to paint. It would be very hard, because we would also probably be thinking about what we feel and what we would be looking at just at that moment.
Yeah. Now, who's there? You know, the artist. Give us a rundown of some of the artists that we can expect to see in this exhibition.
Yes, well, it's an actual who's who of French Expressionism. It's an incredible list of works. The MFA Boston has been really generous. So there's got the leading kind of the artists that people probably associate most with Impressionism would be Claude Monet, and he is definitely a star of the show. There are, I think, 19 canvases by him in the exhibition. The last room is just 16 exquisite landscapes by Monet across his career, which is in itself, I've often said to my colleague Ted, and he's often said, this is an exhibition in itself, the last room of the gallery, and it's certainly worth the price of admission just for that experience. But then you also have, paintings by Renoir. We've got, I think, 10 canvases by Renoir in the exhibition. Camille Pissarro, who was a very important sort of older just figure in the Impressionist group, who was he's a hero in France, but I think he's a little less known here. But he was very interesting, and he I think the main reason why he's probably less familiar more broadly is that his art style changed a lot across his long career, because he was very experimental and he was very influenced by the younger artists that he sort of was hanging out with. And that's an interesting story in the show that we try to draw out through some of the words of the artist, which you can read on the labels next to the paintings, is that a lot of them were traveling together, they were painting side by side, they were writing to each other, they were communicating a lot about what they were doing. So you really get a sense of those relationships. And there are two women artists who are Impressionists, part of the core Impressionist group, and we define the Impressionist quite, if you want to be a bit strict about it, it's sort of the artist who exhibited at this particular series of exhibitions that were held from 1874 to 1886 that were called the independent exhibitions, and they were a chance to break, to have independent exhibitions away from the orthodoxy of the Salon. And in that group, there were two female artists, there were four, but in our show we have two, Beth Morisot, who's a fantastic French painter whose works are very expressive and seem to be, they're so gestural. They look like, they're very fresh, as if they were just painted. But there's also a painting by Mary Cassatt, who's an interesting artist. She's an American who lived for most of her adult life in France, and she was accepted by the Impressionists as one of them. So she's always regarded as a French Impressionist, despite her American origins. And it's interesting being in this show, because it is sort of like this classic American collection, but it shows the very strong French-American sort of links that there were in the late 19th century. There are heaps more. I could go on.
And the one thing that makes me so excited, Miranda, when I go to an exhibition like this, is that you're standing in front of something that is so famous, and the artist is so famous, and that's the piece they're painted. So you're standing right in front of, probably as close to the piece of canvas as what they were when they were painting it, which is gives me goosebumps just thinking about it.
Well, it's very kind of it's a very humanizing thing, actually, when you do stand in front of the painting, and it is all about that encounter between you and the work. This show has about 100 paintings, but it's when you stand in front of that one painting that particularly speaks to you, and you have that fantastic relationship with art. And I think when you look at the paintings of the Impressionists, they're very rewarding, because their approach to paint was, they were interested in using little dots of colour, separating colours to try to create a dazzling visual sensation. So when you look at them, you can kind of see the image that they're painting, the landscape or the whatever scene it is, but you also go up close and suddenly the materiality of the paint is really present, and you can almost imagine their brush touching the canvas.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's probably a little bit of an insect stuck in there somewhere along the way as well.
I believe that is often, they are often found.
Fantastic. Now, obviously it's supposed to have started this last weekend, and it's running to the 22nd of August. So hopefully after Thursday it will be open.
It's coming to the 4th of October, David, I'm glad to say. I think the 22nd of August is the closing day for Australian Impressionism.
Right.
But French Impressionism goes until the 4th of October.
Right. So, brilliant.
Yeah, so it's heartbreaking that we haven't opened it yet, but I am hopeful that before long people will be able to come in and really enjoy it, because it's a real highlight, especially through the grey winter months.
Yeah.
Some of that beautiful sunlight and fields of France.
Absolutely. And do you know what? I came past it on a tram today coming in into the studio. And I was so sad, Yola, on the tram going past the NGV, and there wasn't the queues of people waiting to get in or just milling out the front waiting for their friends to come out. It's so much part of Melbourne now, isn't it, the NGV? It's an institution.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a real sort of hub. And I think what's fantastic is to see, you know, all generations coming through. It's like, you know, a very active and lively place to come for lots of different reasons. But, yes, obviously for the experience of art is at its heart.
Miranda Wallace, always a pleasure to speak to you. And you're like one of the luckiest people in the world with the job you've got. And we're talking about the NGVs. What's it called again?
French Impressionism from the MFA Boston.
Brilliant. Okay. We hope to be there next weekend.
Yes. Thanks, David.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye now. Bye.
Oh, gosh, can't wait to see that exhibition. I'm really hanging out. You're on Joy 94.9. This is Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.